Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Minister Harvey Pittman at Labors of Christ Ministry, located at 1750 West 103rd Street, Chicago, Illinois. We thank you for tuning in with us this evening. And tonight we are going to be praying for spiritual warfare. We come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I come to you on one accord in the name of Jesus Christ. We come two or more in agreement, touching heaven and earth, and you said it will be done. So according to Matthew 18 and 19, we ask you to do the following in the name of Jesus Christ now. Heavenly Father, we pray for all ministers and ask you to forgive us for all of our sins, iniquities, trespasses, transgressions, sins of commission, sins of omission, any and every sin that we have committed. Any unknown sins according to Psalm 19:12. Cover them with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and cleanse us all from unrighteousness according to your word in 1 John 1 and 9 and John 14, 14. In Christ Jesus' holy name, we ask to do this. Heavenly Father, we thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you that every tongue and every word that rises against us in judgment, you shall condemn. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and our righteousness is from you, according to Isaiah 54 and 17. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is written, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. Heavenly Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we pull down every demonic stronghold that we have in our mind, in the minds of anyone that we have prayed for today. We pull down and cast aside in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pull down every vain imagination in us and every vain imagination in everyone that we have prayed for today. We pull them down and cast them aside in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pull down every high thought in us and every high thought in everyone that we have prayed for today that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. We pull them down and cast them aside in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we bring every thought captive in each of us to the obedience of Christ Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 10:3-6. Lord Jesus, we thank you that the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil, according to Isaiah 10:27. Heavenly Father, we ask you now to cause your anointing to break and destroy any yoke of bondage, any and every yoke of bondage, fear, doubt, lust, drug abuse, sexual impurity, along with all of their works, roots, fruits, tentacles, and links that are in our lives and the lives of anyone that we have prayed for. Heavenly Father, we ask you to give us deliverance and freedom from all these bondages in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John. Heavenly Father, we ask you, according to John 14:14, to loose your angels in great abundance in our presence, the presence of everyone that we have prayed for, and into our homes, cars, trucks, land, property, buildings, and workplaces in great abundance to protect us, guard us, and to force out, drive out, and cleanse out all evil, wicked demons, and tormenting spirits from our presence and our homes, cars, trucks, land, animals, and workplaces, and send them to where Christ Jesus sends them. In the mighty name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, we pray Psalm 35:1-6 over ourselves and our family. Plead our cause, O Lord, with them that strive with us. Fight against those that fight against us. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for our help. Also draw out the spear and stop those who pursue us. Say to our souls, I am your salvation. Let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after our lives. Let those be turned back and brought to confusion who plot our hurt. Let them be chaff before the wind, and let the angels of the Lord chase them. Let our way be dark and slippery. Let the angels of the Lord pursue them. For without cause they have hidden their net for us in a pit, which they have dug without cause for our life. Let destruction come upon them unexpectedly, and let his net that he has hidden catch himself. And to that very destruction let him fall, according to Psalm 35:1-8. Heavenly Father, hear our cry, O God. Attend to our prayer. From the end of the earth, we will cry unto you when our heart is overwhelmed. Lead us to the rock that is higher than us. For you have been a shelter for us, a strong tower from the enemy. We will abide in your tabernacle forever. We will trust in the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard our vows. You have given us the heritage of those who fear your name. We ask you to let us abide with you forever and prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve us. So we will sing praise to your name forever, that we may daily perform our vows, according to Psalm 61. Heavenly Father, hear our voice, O God, in our meditation. Preserve our life from fear of the enemy. Hide us from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like the sword and bend their vows to shoot their arrows, bitter words, at us. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to shoot at them with an arrow, suddenly wound them and make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they will wisely consider your doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory, according to Psalm 64. Heavenly Father, in you, O Lord, put our trust. Let us never be ashamed. Deliver us in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to us. Deliver us speedily. Be our rock of refuge, a fortress of defense. Save us. For you are our rock and our fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead us and guide us. Pull us out of the net that they have secretly laid for us. For you are our strength, and to your hand we commit our spirits. Redeem us, O Lord God, truth. We have hated those who regard useless idols, but we trust in you, Heavenly Father. We will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered our trouble. You have known our soul in adversity, and you have not shut us up to the hand of the enemy. You have set our feet in a wide place. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we are in trouble, according to Psalm 31, 1 through 9. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is written in Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. We have acknowledged our sin to you, and our iniquity have not hidden. We will confess our transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of our sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near us. You are our hiding place. You shall preserve us from trouble. You shall surround us with songs of deliverance. We thank you for instructing and teaching us in the way that we should go, and guide us with your eyes, according to Psalm 32, 1 through 8. Heavenly Father, we thank you, for when the enemy shall come in like a flood, your Holy Spirit will lift up a standard against him, according to Isaiah 59:19. Heavenly Father, we ask you to nullify, dismantle, cancel, and stop all works of darkness which are designed to hinder, prevent, deny, or delay your original plans and purposes for our lives, according to Daniel 7:25. Lord Jesus, thank you for redeeming us from the curse, according to Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Father, thank you for saving us and all members of our household, according to Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Lord Jesus, your word says that your anointing breaks and destroys all yokes of bondage. So we ask you now to cause your anointing to break and destroy any yokes of bondages along with all their works, roots, fruits, tentacles, and links in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Deception, desires of this world, disbelief, disdain, disobedience, dissension, division, divination, doubt, egoism, envy, false burdens, fantasy lust, fears, fornication, fretting, giving offense, gossip, greed, guilt, hard-heartedness, heaviness, hate, haughtiness, hypocrisy, idolatry, impatience, indifference, intimidation, intolerance, irritation, jealousy, being judgmental, laboring, lasciviousness, legalism, lust, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, lust of the mind, lying, manipulation, misbelief, murder, plotting, presumption, pride, provoking, railing, rebellion, resentment, restlessness, rigidity, rudeness, sexual idolatry, sexual immorality, sexual impurity, sexual perversion, selfishness, self-centeredness, self-delusion, self-confusion, self-righteousness, self-condemnation, analysis, self-deception, self-pity, sodomy, strife, shame, slander, stiff neck, struggling, taking offense, tension, unbelief, uncleanliness, undermining, unforgiveness, unsubmissiveness, vanity, worry, worldliness, wickedness, perfectionism, oppression, depression, frustration, addiction, dependency, murmuring, complaining, petulance, all unrighteousness, sin consciousness, demon consciousness, following any ways of man, sophistication or intellectualism. Heavenly Father, we ask you to give us deliverance and freedom from all these bondage in the name of Jesus Christ, according to John 16:23. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we bind all Satan's evil, wicked, demon, lying, and tormenting spirits and strong men, along with all their works, tentacles, and links, including abandonment, abomination, abortion, abuse, accusation, accuser of the brethren, addiction, adultery, adulterous lust, affection, agitation, aggravation, alcoholism, analysis, unsubmissiveness, anxiety, anger, anguish, animosity, anorexia, anti-Semitism, apathy, apprehension, being argumentative, arrogance, atheism, backbiting, bad attitude, bad language, belittling, bickering, bitterness, black magic, blasphemy, blindness, burden, boasting, brainwashing, cares and riches of this world, charm, complaining, covetousness, cursing, occultism, condemnation, confusion, confrontation, conjuring, contention, control, conniving, plotting, criticalness, cruelty, cynicalism, daydreaming, death, deception, defeatism, deafness, dejection, delusion, depression, dependence, despair, desires of this world, despondency, destruction, disbelief, disgust, discouragement, discontentment, disobedience, dissension, disdain, distrust, division, divination, dominance, doubt, drug abuse, drug addiction, drunkenness, dread, escapism, egoism, envy, false burden, compassion, false responsibility, fantasy lust, fault finding, fear of rejection, fear of man, fear of disapproval, fear of failure, fear of condemnation, fear of accusation, fear of reproof, fetishes, fighting, fatigue, forgetfulness, fornication, fortune telling, fretting, frigidity, frustration, causing offense, gloom, doubt, gossip, greed, guilt, haughtiness, heaviness, hopelessness, hallucination, harlotry, horror, hurt, hyperactivity, idleness, idolatries of any kind, impurity, incest, infirmity, impatience, inadequacy, incantation, incoherence, ineptness, indecision, indifferences, insomnia, intimidation, intolerance, insecurity, insanity, irritation, jealousy, being judgmental, laboring, lasciviousness, legalism, lethargy, levitation, listlessness, loneliness, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, lust of the mind, lying, madness, mania, masturbation, manipulation, materialism, material lust, mental illness, mischief, morbidity, murder, murmuring, nervousness, nervous habit, nicotine addiction, not letting go of wickedness, oppression, paranoia, passivity, pedophilia, pendulum, perfectionism, petulance, persecution, pornography, possessiveness, pouting, presumption, pretension, pride, procrastination, provoking, quarreling, railing, rape, rage, rebellion, rejection, restless, rationalization, retaliation, retardation, rigidity, resentment, rudeness, sadism, seduction, shame, slander, self-accusation, self-confusion, self-rejection, self-seduction, self-pity, selfishness, self-centeredness, self-deception, self-delusion, self-righteousness, self-condemnation, self-hatred, self-criticalness, self-will, self-sabotage, insensitivity, sexual idolatry, sexual impurity, shyness, sin consciousness, skepticism, sleepiness, sorrow, stiffness, strife, stress, stubbornness, struggling, suspicion, suicide, taking offense, tarot card, temper, tension, tiredness, theatrics, timidity, uncleanness, unforgiveness, undermining, unfairness, unworthiness, water witch, weariness, white magic, woeful sin, withdrawal, worry, witchcraft, vanity, vindictiveness, violence, all unrighteousness, demon consciousness, and following any ways of man, sophistication, intellectualism and Nimrod, high-mindedness, Jezebel, Ahab, Herodian, Python, Sauls, religion, voodoo, cult, occultism, all kindling, acute, lying, familiar, seducing spirits, mind-binding, mind-blocking spirits, antichrist, generational spirits, all spirits and strong men of all mental, physical, and emotional illness, sickness, disease, disorder, death, premature death, infirmity, affliction, inflammation, viruses, infection, abnormal cells, radical cells, lesion, cysts, pain, trauma, shock, spasm, cramp, abnormal growth, radical growth in or on any parts of our body, including our eyes, ears, nose, mouth, throat, back, bones, muscles, ligaments, tissues, blood, blood vessels, arteries, colon, intestines, stomach, prostate, thyroid, brain, liver, heart, lungs, cardiovascular disorders and disease, reproductive disorders and disease, thyroid disorders and disease, blood pressure disorders and disease, throat disorders and disease, breast disorders and disease, neurological disorders and disease, lymphatic disorders and disease, chemical imbalance, hormone imbalance, allergies of any kind, senility, forgetfulness, paranoia, schizophrenia, all spirits of arthritis, crippling arthritis, acute arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, sinusitis, acute sinusitis, bursitis, tendonitis, and performance spirits. All spirits of disorders and diseases, hypoglycemia of all forms, degenerative diseases of all kinds, all cancers, all tumors, and all mind diseases and disorders. We bind and loose all these demonic spirits and strong men from us, from everyone that we have prayed for, along with all evil principalities, powers, and rulers of wickedness in high places, from every organ in our body, from every cell in our body, from every gland in our body, from our home, property, marriages, cars, trucks, businesses, ministries, objects, workplaces, finances, and we loose them to go where Jesus sends them, and we bind them and command them to stay there in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We place and plead the blood of Jesus between us. We claim all our lives united together in obedient love and service to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to grant us conviction of sin with godly sorrow to repentance. We pray that we will now be set completely free from anything that now binds us. Heavenly Father, we ask you to cause your anointing to break and destroy every yoke of bondage in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, we ask you to fill our minds with the gift of the Spirit of God, with love, with joy, with peace, with long-suffering, with gentleness and goodness, and meekness, and faithfulness, and self-control. Heavenly Father, we ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit, anointing, and power, and cover us with your presence. Heavenly Father, we bow and worship and praise before you, and we apply the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ from the tops of our heads to the soles of our feet. We plead the blood of Jesus over us, over the airways that surround us, over us and under us, over telephone lines, over our homes, our property, our offices, our cars, our trucks, our marriages, our businesses, our finances, our ministry. We plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we ask you to render powerless and harmless and nullify the power, destroy the power, cancel the power of any evil spirit, man, any messengers of Satan that try to come into our presence, our home, our properties, our automobiles, our finances, our ministries, our minds, our souls, our spirits, and in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for your mighty work. Grant to us the grace, the power, and the desire to be persistent in our intercession, that you may be glorified through our deliverance. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen, 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 and amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Alrighty, good evening to everyone. So I have the pleasure of being your host this evening. So I want to thank Pittman for starting us off in prayer. And so for this month, we're going to be talking about spiritual contamination. And so tonight, we're going to be talking about the Queen of Heaven spirit. And most of my research is coming from a book by D. Peter Wagner, the late D. Peter Wagner. He passed away a couple weeks ago. Yeah, he passed away. But he has a book written, Confronting the Queen of Heaven. And so most of my research is coming from his book. Some of it is coming from Christian International Ministries in Florida and some other resources, but I'm going to say about 85-90% of this teaching is coming from his book. So I have a definition of what spiritual contamination is, and just kind of simply stated, it's anything that's going to cause a person to become spiritually unclean. So spiritual toxins that keep us from God's destiny in our life. And so that can be anything. It can be people, it can be places, it can be music, internet, it can be the environment, it could be having, you know, accursed objects in your home, you know, certain figurines, occult books, any of those things could be like spiritual toxins, you know, that can keep us from the destiny that God has for us. And so when we don't address those things, then we almost come like this disease almost. It's by disobedience, because if we look in Deuteronomy 28th chapter, Deuteronomy, you know, we talk about, you know, who has a Bible with you? Other than the King James? The NIV might work. Yeah, the 28th chapter in Deuteronomy talks about blessings, obedience, and disobedience. But my foundational scripture that we just kind of want to keep in mind throughout this series is going to be Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12, verses 28-31. This is going to be my foundational scripture for this month. It's Deuteronomy 12, 28-31. And it says, be careful to obey all these regulations I'm giving you. This is the NIV version. So it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you'll be doing what is good and what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. The Lord your God will cut off before you the nations you are about to invade and dispossess. But when you have driven them out and settled them in their land, and after they have been destroyed before you, be careful not to be ensnared by inquiring about their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? We will do the same.
You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. So we're going to kind of keep that scripture just in mind, you know, this month. If anybody is used to me teaching, I always have a ton of scripture. So you might want to get your pen and notepad together and just kind of write these scriptures down, because I always have a ton of scriptures. But anyway, we know that the world is going to tell us to do things that are contrary to what God wants. Satan's authority lies in the only power he has, which is the power of deception. That's the only power he has. And we know that deception always comes wrapped in a pretty package. It's going to look good. It's going to try to entice us, you know, but it has just enough poison, if you will, that's going to cause us to fall, just enough to kill us, you know. So the world has all kinds of things that sound good. It looks good. And let me dabble in this. Let me dabble in that. But it's deception, you know. And so we want to just be careful to always obey the, you know, the word of God, because it's like rat poison. It has like 2% is enough to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, when you try to kill a rat, you know, you're going to try to make it all sweet and everything to get them to eat it, but that 2% is what's going to kill the rat. And so that's kind of like what deception is, kind of like a rat poison, just that 2% is going to kill us. Now, we understand that demons are territorial. We know that. We know they have the legal right to stay in certain places as long as we remain in agreement with them. So the next scripture is going to be Joshua 6:8. Joshua 6:18. Can someone get that real quick? If not, I've got it right here. It says, but keep away from the devoted things, that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. That lets us know that everything we do affects someone else, and it can open the door for spiritual contamination for our family, our friends. They grow kind of like we get our nutrients from food. That's how evil spirits, they feed off of sin in the same way. That, you know, we grow getting our nourishment from food. That's what's going to feed, you know, evil spirits from the sin. And I think that probably will explain why, you know, when you go in certain areas, the spiritual climate is different in certain places. You know, you can kind of, if you're spiritual discerning, if you're sensitive, you can kind of feel, you know, when you go in certain places, this place feels really, you know, demonic or what have you. There's an area in South Florida that they call it the Evangelist Graveyard. In South Florida, they call it the Evangelist Graveyard because the climate there, it feels like your prayers are just in a brass ceiling, because there is so much witchcraft that goes on in this area. There is witchcraft, there's homosexuality, there's drug scenes, there's voodoo, there's Rastafarian, there's the Santeria religion. What, Rastafarian? Oh, they call it the Evangelist Graveyard. It's an area in South Florida. They call it the Evangelist Graveyard because there's so much wickedness that goes on. It just kind of feels like, you know, your prayers just kind of hitting a brass ceiling. And that's because all the principalities and powers there in that area of Florida is just like the population. There's just so much that goes on there. Rastafarian, that's one of the religions that, yeah, with the dreadlocks. Yeah. And then we know Santeria. We know that's a mixture of Catholicism and Satanism. You know, that's Santeria. You know, so you have that, you've got voodoo, you have all this going on in this particular area in South Florida. And so, you know, like I said, if you're spiritually discerning, then, you know, when you go to certain places, you feel like, okay, what is going on here? We know the scripture from Ephesians 6:12 about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers, that and the other. Principalities have executive authority or governmental rule over large areas, such as continents, countries, regions. Those are principalities. Powers are given their position by principalities, so their activity is to blanket an area with a particular brand of fear, anger, rebellion, what have you. So that's the difference between principalities and powers. I'm not going to go into rulers, spiritual wickedness, in high places, but Ephesians 6:12 is just kind of, you know, delineating the hierarchy that Satan has in his kingdom. Principalities being, you know, over countries and regions. And then powers get their authority or whatever from the principalities. So principalities don't dwell in people, but they have a strong influence upon the individual. Now, I ran across a quote by Corrie Ten Boom, which I actually love. It says, the first step on the way to victory is to recognize the enemy. I like that. The first step on the way to victory is to recognize the enemy. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Exactly. So I ran across that quote. I'm like, I like this. I'm going to include this. No, the first step to victory is to recognize the enemy. So all that was introduction. Now we're actually going to get into the actual Queen of Heaven sphere, which I found really, really interesting. So the Queen of Heaven spirit is a territorial spirit that has global influence and affects the entire earth. It is at the root of witchcraft, occult practices, sexual perversion, child abuse, pornography, prostitution, corruption, compromise. The Queen of Heaven sphere is at the root of all of this. It's going to bring destruction, lack, poverty, death, etc. It is a destiny-stealing spirit. This is the sphere behind abortion. And I'm not just talking about abortion of children, but also abortion of our own destiny, our own ministry, you know, because, you know, this spirit, it continues to affect, you know, churches, homes, communities, nations, you know, so, again, it's a destiny stealing, it's a destiny thief. It's also the same power that's exposed in Isaiah 47. So in your leisure, you can read Isaiah 47. But I love Hosea 4:6. It says people perish for lack of knowledge. So like we were just saying, the first step to victory is to recognize the enemy. People perish for lack of knowledge. That's why we have to know the truth. No. So the Queen of Heaven spirit is a demonic principality to whom Satan has delegated the primary authority of implementing his purpose to blind the minds of unbelievers to God. And so without realizing it, a lot of people have been deceived by this spirit, and unfortunately, and because we don't always recognize it, we may have unknowingly, you know, walked in agreement with it, partnered with it, even worship it. You know, Time Magazine wrote an article in 1991, and in their article, they said that it is quoted. Among all the women who ever lived, the mother of Jesus Christ is most celebrated, the most venerated. Among Roman Catholics, Donna is recognized not only as the mother of God, not Jesus, the mother of God, but also, according to modern popes, as the queen of the universe, queen of heaven, seat of wisdom, and even the spouse of the Holy Spirit. This is what Time Magazine, they published an article in 1991, and they're talking about how the Roman Catholic Church, which is very different here than it is in Latin America, so I want to make that the Roman Catholic Church in Latin America is a lot more, if I want to put it, is nothing like it is here. It's a lot more demonic, if I could use that. I don't want to be offensive, but it's very different. But yeah, we do know in many Catholic, I'm not going to say all, but many Catholic churches, they do kind of worship Mary. We honor Mary. We do honor her as the Mother of Jesus. But we don't worship her like they do in many Catholic churches, you know, and because they look at her as being the Queen of Heaven, as the spouse of the Holy Spirit, the Mother of God. We recognize her as the Mother of Jesus. Now, the Roman Catholic Church also calls her the co-redeemer. And there's a standard in their catechism that stated, in fact, the Pope, in the 1960s in Vatican, they gave her the title of co-redeemer, mediator, and advocate. And the in their catechism, it says, taken up to heaven, she did not lay aside the saving office, but by her manifold intercession continues to bring us the gifts of eternal salvation. Therefore, the Blessed Virgin is invoked in the Church under the titles of advocate, helper, benefactress, and mediatrix. And then Pope John Paul, in 1985, he gave a speech, and he says, at Calvary, she united herself with the sacrifice of her son that led to the foundation of the Church. Her maternal heart shared to the very depths of the will of Christ to gather into one all the dispersed children of God. Having suffered for the Church, Mary deserved to become the mother of all the disciples of her son, the mother of their unity. In fact, Mary's role as co-redemptrix did not cease. That's what the Pope John Paul stated in 1985, and then I also gave what's in their catechism. So many, not all, but many Roman Catholics, they cheerfully refer to the Virgin Mary as the Queen of Heaven because they're understanding it to be a term of endearment and adoration, which is kind of interesting because if we look in Jeremiah, you know, we're going to look in Jeremiah 7. So you can turn to Jeremiah 7. You know, the Bible speaks of the Queen of Heaven as it relates to idols. And so calling her a co-mediator is like idolatry because it's like, you know, treating her like she's a goddess. And we understand, we know that Jezebel, we're familiar with Jezebel. Jezebel worshipped Asherah, which is actually one of the many terms. And we're gonna get to that because the Queen of Heaven comes in many guys, many names, goes by many names. We know a lot of the hospitals is like Our Lady of Lourdes or Our Lady of Guadalupe or Our Lady of whatever, you know. My mother used to work in a hospital called Our Lady of Lourdes, L-O-U-R-D-S. Yeah, right, you know. She's known as Mother Earth, Mother Nature. In Revelation 18, she is the Whore of Babylon, Mother of Harlots, the Mystery of Babylon the Great. Her root can be traced all the way back to the Tower of Babel, when she used the name of Semiramis, S-E-M-I-R-A-M-I-S, who was supposedly the wife / mother of Nimrod. Really interesting. So to Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7, and then after that, we're going to go to Jeremiah 44. So if somebody can get Jeremiah 44, we'll start with Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7, beginning at the 16th verse, it says, so do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them. Do not plead with me, for I will not listen to you. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. Okay. Jumping down to the 18th verse, it says, the children gather wood, the fathers light the fire, and the women knead the dough and make cakes to offer to the Queen of Heaven. They pour out drink offerings to other gods to arouse my anger. But am I the one they are provoking, declares the Lord? Are they not rather harming themselves to their own shame? Verse 20, therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and on the trees of the field and on the crops of your land, and it will burn and not be. Very interesting that God is telling Jeremiah, don't even pray for these people because I'm not going to hear you. He's telling Jeremiah that he is about to physically destroy them as a nation. He's angry at them because of worshiping this Queen of Heaven spirit. And he's saying this spirit is provoking him to anger. So the next one is Jeremiah 44. Does someone have Jeremiah 44? Verses 15 through 19. So we see here that the people are telling Jeremiah they are not going to do what the Lord has said. They are defiantly refusing to obey God. And they're saying, we're not going to hear you. We're going to continue to worship this Queen of Heaven spirit. They thought that they could burn incense, goddess, and still keep their covenant with God. But by burning incense, what they were doing were they were deifying this territorial spirit. They were feeding the spirit by continuing to burn incense. Now, it says here, you know, when we were doing these things, when we had stopped doing these things, things got worse. But that's what happens because when you break covenant with demons, they're going to retaliate. And so they were saying, you know, we're going to have to go back to what we're doing because it's better that way, you know. So they went back in sin because things seem to get worse. That's what we have to understand, that when you're confronting and when you're breaking covenant with demonic spirits, they are going to retaliate. And so they were experiencing a retaliation of this demonic spirit. But we have power and authority over that, you know, to break covenant by confessing the sins of our fathers. That is in Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26, 40 through 42, you can write that down. But you know we have power and authority. But here they were just continuing in the footsteps of their forefathers. And then also in Jeremiah 44, the 25th verse. Do you still have that, Pastor? The 25th verse. Can you read that, please?
You and your wife, your sons, your
So God is saying, okay, do what you say you're going to do because he is going to destroy you. Go ahead with rebellion because he's going to totally destroy you. It's basically, you know, what God is doing. We know that, you know, organized religion it has fed its lies in order to sell the political agenda. Jeremiah 16. Jeremiah 16 and 19. Who has that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
It talks about inheriting the lies. What are the lies that we? I said earlier that the worship of Queen of the Heaven Spirit goes all the way back to the same lie, Genesis 10. We're going to go all the way back to Genesis. We know who Nimrod was. We know he was great-grandson of Noah. We understand that. He was very rebellious against God. Genesis 10. The first verse says, you know, this is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's sons, who themselves had sons after the flood. Going down to verse 6. The sons of Ham, Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, and Sabta. The sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. Okay. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who became a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon and some others. So I'm going to stop there. So now when it says he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, Nimrod actually hunted for humans, and he used them as sacrifices to the pagan god, sun god Molech. Now, the Hebrew word for before in this scripture, it's not a good thing, because what it's saying, the Hebrew meaning is that it's saying anger, impudent, face, you know, and we know impudent means audacious, bold, brash, brazen, insolent, disregard of others. And so what this verse is telling us is that Nimrod was almost saying, like, okay, in your face with this rebellious, shameless attitude. His name literally means or rebellion. We know he was full of pride. We know pride is the beginning of disaster. So what he did, he turned people's belief in a personal relationship with God into this warped religion based on him becoming this self-proclaimed mediator between he and God. So he built the Tower of Babel as an affront to God, you know. And so we know that Babylon then became the fountainhead of idolatry and every heathen pagan in the world. Now, go to the 11th chapter of Genesis, and we have Abraham. Now, Abraham was from Ur of the Chaldeans, which was in Babylon. Abraham was not an idolater, but he lived in this land of idolatry. And one of the gods they worshiped there, Genesis 7:31 is, you can write that down as your reference. One of the gods they worshiped in Ur was called Sin, S-I-N, or Nana, N-A-N-N-A, who was the crescent moon god. This is the principal deity of Ur. Now, what I also discovered is that while the name was Sin, the title was Allah, meaning Allah, like the Muslims, Allah, you know, the deity, meaning that this sin god was the chief or high god among the gods and the supreme deity in a pantheon of deities. And this is the god that they worship in Ur, you know. And so, you know, the Old Testament constantly rebukes the worship of the moon god. And so when Israel fell into idolatry, it was usually because of worshiping this moon god. Now, Sin had a wife named Ningal, N-I-N-G-A-L, which means great lady or queen. She had other names such as Nina, which is where we get the word Nineveh from. Another name was Inanna, which is where we got Ninana, N-I-N-N-A, from, which means queen of heaven, or literally lady of the sky. She was later worshipped as Ishtar. No, we understand Ishtar. Now, this is what I found very interesting. In societies that embrace the worship of this goddess, every young girl had to serve as a temple prostitute for a season before they could be given a marriage. So from Haley's Bible handbook, it says, Ishtar was the deification of the sex passion. Her worship required licentiousness, sacred prostitution in connection with her sanctuary was a universal custom among the women of Babylon. In connection with her temples were charming retreats or chambers where the priestesses entertained male worshipers in disgraceful ceremonies. In addition to prostitutes, priestesses, every maid, wife, or widow had to officiate as a priestess at least once in her lifetime in these rites. Every maid, every wife, every widow, every female had to officiate as a priestess. So this is not just some casual prostitution. They had to act as a priestess to show their dedication to this pagan god. It affected everyone. And in some of the temples, even young boys, they had to prostitute themselves. Men preferred the boys over the young girls. So homosexuality was freely accepted. This is back in Babylon. And I haven't gotten new yet. You know, I'm working my way there. The other interesting thing that I found interesting was that Nimrod allegedly had a wife who was also his mother, named Semiramis, okay, like I said. Supposedly, Nimrod was counseled by the priest of Baal to marry his mother as an act of incest in order to acquire what's called the third eye, which is divination, ESP, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's divination. Psychic power was counseled by the priest of Baal, you know. And so that's how they started this whole, you know, Babylon. And so, you know, he built the tower, the Tower of Babel, because he wanted to consult with the demons through astrology. Because he led the Babylonians to pay tribute to the skies, which is the sun, the moon, all that, by sacrificing children. He's a pagan deity. So Babylon was a religion of sacrificing babies to the god Molech, which they did twice a year on the winter solstice, which we know is shortest day. They also did it on the vernal not spring. So what would happen twice a year, there would be wild drunken parties, orgies, where the virgins became impregnated by the pagan priest Baal. And so when these babies were newly born, they would offer them up as sacrifice on the altar to Molech. And a few months later, on Easter Sunday, they offered up more infants to the goddess, which is Ishtar. And what they would do, they would dye eggs in the blood of these sacrificed. That sounds like what many of us grew up doing, dyeing Easter eggs. This is where this comes from. Now, yeah, so. But we'll see how it just kind of, you know. Now, it was Sunday because, you know, they worship the sun god, you know, and the sun rises in the east, and so they worship. That's why it was Easter Sunday, you know. Molech was the god of child sacrifice. It's one of the evil spirits behind abortion. It's to murder and destroy our godly seed and our inheritance. Nimrod had a lot of different names. Pluto, Hades, Poseidon, Apollo, Mars, Cupid, Vulcan, Mercury, Neptune, Jupiter, all the planets, you know, Saturn, Hercules, Sol, you know, Osiris, Tammuz, Molech, St. Valentine, and Dagon, the fish god. These were all other names for Nimrod. The city of Rome was once called Saturnalia, the city of Saturn. We just said that Saturn was one of the names for Nimrod. So basically, Nimrod was deified as Saturn. In the Chaldean language, Saturn is spelled S-T-U-R, it equals 6. The S, which is the Shin, is 6. The T, Paul, is 400. The U, which is a wall, is 6. The R, Resh, 200. You add those numbers up, it's 6. Right. That's just Nimrod. Now, his wife, mother, we know Aphrodite, Artemis, which we see in Ephesians 6, Athena, Isis, Venus, or Diana, which is also Artemis, Juno, Astarte, Ishtar, Asterisk, Asherah, you know, we know that the gods that Jezebel worships, you know, Mother Earth, Magnum, Mater, et cetera, et cetera. I remember when I was growing up, there was a cartoon, I don't remember the name of the cartoon, but it used to go, Almighty Isis. Okay, right. It was a cartoon or something that we used to, I didn't know what I was doing. Okay. I remember the phrase, Almighty Isis. Right, you know. And I thought about that. That was before your time, Minister Kathy. Okay, well. I have this vague memory of this TV show or this cartoon or whatever. And I used to watch it faithfully, and I remember going, Almighty Isis. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, now what was I saying, you know? You know, yeah. You know, not knowing. But, I mean, not knowing what we were saying, what we were doing, you know. Even, you know, growing up, you know, celebrating Easter and doing the Easter egg hunt and all that, not knowing all that came from, you know, Ishtar, Nimrod. You know? So, you know, Revelation 17, you know, the Queen of Heaven spirit is called Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and also the great harlot who sits on many waters. So keep in mind that when we're discussing the spiritual realm, we're talking about spirits, not people. We're talking about spirits, and so we know that spirits use people and work through them, but our enemy is not. And it's, again, like I said, this Queen of Heaven spirit is a principality. It's a principality. And so this principality was named by God to be the mother of harlots or the harlot of Babylon. Now, harlotry, we know, is prostitution. So again, you know, Nimrod and their religion migrated to other parts of the world, and so as language changed, her name changed. So that's how we got, you know, Easter and, you know, all those other names. Esther. She was named after when she was taken into captivity. We know her name was Hadassah. When she was taken into captivity in Babylon, her name was changed to Esther, which came from Ishtar. You know, so she had to take on this Babylonian goddess. Another one of the rituals that they performed was, you know, getting up early, facing the east to wait the rising of the sun. And as the sun came up, they bowed down to Baal, which are many of these postures they use in yoga. And so, and then after these rituals were performed, the children would invoke the goddess to help them, and they would go on an egg hunt. Who were the Easter eggs came in from? Because the eggs were thought to have come from rabbits, which were the symbol of lust, sexual prowess, and reproduction. And we grew up, at least me, I grew up celebrating Easter and going on Easter egg hunt. And, you know, this rabbit, I never understood where the rabbit came from until I studied it. I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know. So we know Easter itself has its root in paganism. It's never used in the original scripture, nor is Easter associated with the death and resurrection, which is why we call it Resurrection Sunday, because we're celebrating the resurrection. We're not celebrating this goddess, you know, Ishtar, and hunting for eggs and things of that nature. No. And what had happened is that this celebration, infiltrated the early Catholic Church as a compromise to keep those who wanted to keep these celebrations from leaving the church. It was a bit of tolerance. And so when you tolerate something, it means that it's not holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, a fool. In Revelation 2, we know that God addressed this, the church in Thyatira, is that how you pronounce it? Thyatira, okay. In Revelation 2, because they tolerated Jezebel. You know, Jezebel is really a manifestation of this Queen of Heaven spirit. So if we understand the Queen of Heaven, then we'll understand Jezebel. But if we understand the Queen of Heaven, then we understand Jezebel. And so we all heard of Constantine, right? The Roman Emperor Constantine claims to have converted to Christianity. And so with the, he issued this decree of tolerance, which is known as Edict of Milan, which gave total religious freedom to Christians. It said, Christians and all others should have the liberty to follow that mode of religion which to each of them appeared best. Sounds like a major victory, since they would no longer have to be tortured for their beliefs, but that's really how the Roman Catholic Church started through Constantine, because this edict made the empire neutral with regards to religious tradition. So Christianity wasn't, it didn't make traditional religion illegal, nor did it make Christianity the state religion. It was a compromise, fair to compromise. And he also, it was Constantine who declared at this council, he decided that the celebration of the Jewish Passover would be replaced by the resurrection of this pagan goddess of fertility known as. So that's how a lot of the pagan holiday compromised. You know, because he had no problem replacing all the feast days that set apart by the Jews and Leviticus. He had no problem, you know, replacing them with the same pagan days that were kept in honor of Nimrod and these other deities. Now, let's go over to Acts 19. Acts 19, verses 17 through 41. Probably not going to read it all because it is quite a bit, but you can write it down. This is talking about Diana or Artemis, depending on which translation that you have, in Acts 19. And so Paul was in Ephesus. Paul was in Ephesus. Okay. And what happened is that he confronted this Diana or Artemis because Ephesus was the seat of Satan. It was a stronghold city prior to Paul coming in and preaching the gospel. Ephesus was a stronghold city where the spirit had found a place to operate. And so prior to Paul's arrival and prior to him bringing Christianity, Ephesus was the center of the world for magic, sorcery, witchcraft, and other occult practices. So people came from all over the world to learn magic. Many of the Ephesians engaged in exorcism and occult practices for money. And so Ephesus was under the domination of the Roman Empire, and so Artemis, or Diana, was the goddess that they earned money. She was the goddess of fertility. She was represented by a carved female figure with many breasts. The festival of Artemis involved wild sex orgies and carousing. And so, obviously, the religious life in Ephesus reflected the worship of this pagan deity. And there was a statue of her in the temple of Ephesus because they believed that she was the goddess of chastity. Now, chastity did not mean that the women never, right, it meant that they were not in a committed relationship. That's what that meant. That's why it was not a committed relationship. Isn't that Jezebel? what is Jezebel? But what does Jezebel's name mean? Jezebel's name means unhusbanded, non-cohabitation, meaning that she's independent and self-serving and will not submit.
So anybody that they're not married, their husband?
No. 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 But that's what Jezebel's name means.
Okay.
Her name means that she's not going to. Right. Right. She was married to Ahab, but we know she did her own thing. I mean, she was like wicked. Her daughter was like wicked times 10. But I mean,
wow.
Yeah, their daughter, Athalia, she was like 10 times worse than Jezebel. But I mean, we know Jezebel is the one who went after Elijah saying, I'm going to kill you. You just killed my prophets. I'm coming after you. She had Elijah on the run. Come on now. You know, so she, well, kind of, yeah. Because he couldn't get the vineyard from Nabal. Right. Right. She just like, okay, you wimp. This is my translation. You know? Yeah, she's like, what are you laying here crying for now? You're the king. Okay, fine, I'll get it for you. You know, and he let her do it. You know. Anyway. Anyway, so Jezebel is one of the most carefully concealed demonic powers there is. Now, so when Paul came to Ephesus, he began preaching the gospel. So you can read this in Acts 19. Revival broke out. People were started getting filled with the Holy Spirit, getting saved. And people who used to worship Diana, they became Christians. They began throwing away their idols. Well, that meant that meant they were breaking covenant with the Spirit. That affected the economy. Because Ephesus was a wealthy city, due in part from the tourist trade that people had from worshiping this, you know, in this temple. And so the silversmiths who had been making money, they were getting upset because they were losing money. Because what happens, they were throwing away their idols. I mean, they couldn't make, you know. Because they believed that Diana's image was falling from heaven. You know, and so silversmiths, they stirred this riot against Paul. And they gathered into the amphitheater for 2 hours. They were declaring, you can read in the 32nd through 34th verse. They were saying, great is Diana, or great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So in essence, what they were doing, they were making declaration to the heavenly realm that they were saying, we still want you here. That's by them saying, great is Diana. You know, they were saying, we still want you here. What they were doing unknowingly was strategic level spiritual warfare involved confronting high-ranking territorial spirits, which had been assigned by Satan to coordinate the activities of the kingdom of darkness over a certain area to keep people's minds blinded. So they are trying to maintain the hold that the Queen of Heaven Spirit had over this city. They were trying to kill Paul. We know that, you know, God delivered. So understand that when we're talking about taking territory in the business land, we're not just praying against territorial spirits. We're actually doing spiritual warfare and winning souls for the kingdom. You know, we are, you know, casting devil out of people. We're pulling down. We can pull down every stronghold that we want to. You know, but if you're not winning souls, then, you know, what are you doing? You know, and so that's where it comes. That's where we need the corporate anointing for us to all come together. You know, so we can begin to win souls for people. Now, Scripture does not tell us exactly what happened to the destruction of the temple, But if we study history, we learn some very... So John, the beloved disciple, we know that he was exiled in Patmos. After his exile, he, according to history, he came to Ephesus and he lived out his last days. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, accompanied him there, and she is believed to have died there and lived out her last days. While John was in Ephesus, he walked in and did a face-to-face consultation with this Queen of Heaven spirit. And he prayed to God, and after he prayed, the altar split in many pieces and the temple fell down. So he was doing strategic level confrontation against the Queen of Heaven spirit. That's how the temple was destroyed. But the people were still worshiping this goddess. Because even though she lost her ground in Ephesus, she had to find a way to infiltrate Christianity to regain her hold on people. And so that's how, you know, the Catholic Church began to worship, you know, Mary as a the Ecumenical Council of 431 through Constantine, which I mentioned earlier, declared Mary as the Mother of God. Not the Mother of Jesus, the Mary, Mother of God. You know, we recognize Mary as Mother of Jesus. No. This council, Ecumenical Council, took place in Ephesus. Some of them do, you know. So when I don't want to make a blanket statement that all Catholics,
right?
You know, because I do have some friends who actually attend a Catholic church, but you know they are spiritual believers, you know. So that's how I said earlier that sometimes we are kind of in relationship with the spirit and not even realize. You know, so we honor Mary. We do. You know, the Bible lets us know that she's highly favored. You know, but we don't worship her, so to speak. Like many Catholics do. You know, in some of the Catholic churches, you have statues of her. You know, we don't have those statues of her in our church. No. By worshiping Mary, though, it's actually empowering the spirit of Jezebel and her witchcraft. Because remember, I said that Asherah, which was a chief pagan god, goddess of war and sex, was known as Queen of Heaven. You know, and so that spirit, that's behind Jezebel, that's what Jezebel worshipped. Connect the dots. You know, now the Queen of Heaven spirit has changed her name, she's changed her face, but people all over the world, you know, are caught unaware in this idolatrous situation. They're still keeping nations in bondage by worshiping. Spirits, you know, unknowingly, and that's the nature of deception. In the Old Testament. Right. Because some of the modern day manifestations, the city of Los Angeles, means city of Our Lady of Queen of Heaven. That's what Los Angeles really means. So the city of Los Angeles is a city that's dedicated serving this Queen of Heaven spirit. Anybody who's ever gone to Los Angeles, there's all kinds of wickedness that takes place. Mount Everest, the original name in Nepal is Sagarmatha. It means Mother of the Universe. Mexico, they have the Virgin Guadalupe. In Cuba, they have the Virgin of Merced. This is also the idol that is worshipped in the Santeria religion. Which again, I said it's a mixture of Catholicism and satanic worship. They worship this idol, Merced. And in Cuba, that's where she's known as. When you go to Latin America, you see all kinds of witchcraft, you see all kinds of self-torture, self-flocculation, walking on their knees, things of that nature, all to please this spirit. And this is the other thing I found, was she's also the goddess of the dawn, and her statue stands on a bridge in France. I've been to France, been to Paris. Okay. The French made an image of this, and it now stands in New York Harbor, facing the east. Statue of Liberty, which is liberty enlightening the world. It's a statue represents a Roman goddess by the name of Libertas, which is Artemis, right here in New York. There. French gave us, donated this, right, in order to bring Jezebel's. And we have the prostitution, we have pornography. Pornography is about control, not necessarily about sex, but about controlling the hearts and minds of people. Abortion is about controlling your body. It's saying it's your right to control what happens to your body. You know, the 1960s, we had the free love movement, the Mother Earth, the drugs. That was before your time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That was the era where
I understood what was going on.
Okay. Yeah. The era that says if it feels good, just do it. You know, we also saw in the 60s the resurgence of burning incense. We just read back in Jeremiah that the Queen of Heaven's spirit was worshipped through burning incense. And back in the 60s, that's way before my time. You know. Back. So, I mean, that's basically all I have. Right on time. You know. Yeah, so, you know, understanding, you know, don't be afraid to engage in spiritual warfare. We have more power than we know that. You know, I think a lot of times people don't engage in spiritual warfare because either we're afraid or we're just lazy. You know, we've subconsciously said to the enemy, if you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. We can live happily ever after. You know, but, you know, don't be afraid. There. Mm-hmm. I hope something out of you that I didn't bore you all too much. We will be off the tape in a very few minutes. If pagan gods, no. The days of the week. I started researching the days of the week, and you know they are many of them. Most of them actually are named after gods. Everybody knows that I'm a linguist, right? Like I've majored in like languages, so I have a background in Romance languages. Okay, yeah. Well, we're not going to go there, but the Romance languages came from Latin. Okay. So the word for Friday in Latin is vanity, and which in French is vendredi, you know, for my French cohort here. That's my word, cohort. Okay. That word, yeah. Vanity means, it was named after goddess, the goddess of Venus, which is where the word venerate came from, which means to worship. No. Saturday was Saturn's day. We saw that Saturn was one of the names for Nimrod. So it was Dies Saturni in Latin. And so Saturday was named after in honor of Saturn. And so what happened is that as the of worshiping the sun, as that increased, then it became Sunday as the taking the beginning of the week as opposed to Saturday. So Sunday was sun day, day of the sun, the worship of the pagan goddess, you know. And then Dominica, which then goes into Spanish, is Domingo, you know, which meant day of God, but it's small g. So many of the days of the week, most of the days of the week, actually were named after pagans. So we are right on time, and so we're going to end there at 8. Who do you suppose is out in prayer? Amen.